We're Schodesh Sivan, Tuesday the 19th of May, with Bianchi Wiesenfeld, He Who and 54 Babies, Part 2.
First of all, I'd like to thank Torahway and Dudi and all the other members who come for simply giving me this platform so that I can say a few divrei Torah l'nishmas Mashreis Zecharein Livracha. It was his 19th yortzeit last week. Rabbi Froy Fishel ben Rabbi Yoel Aryeh, and the limud, the preparation and the delivery of the shiur, and hopefully your participation in the shiur is also l'nishmas Shvi'as Chusveis Neshama. My title generated some international interest. I've had emails, WhatsApps, messages from as far apart as from the UK, from Eretz Yisrael, and from Canada, as to what it might possibly mean. On Shabbos, I davened in two Bote Midrashim, and I got stopped in both Bote Midrashim. And somebody came up to me yesterday at Mincha Maariv, and he said to me, "I saw your poster." He said, "I was trying to work out the title." He said, "You ruined my mincha." He said, the whole Shmoneh Esrei, that's all I was thinking about. What is this strange title, He Who, 54 Babies, what's it all about? The suggestions that I've had so far in this competition is one of them was from somebody here who said that maybe the he and the who is a remez to have a misfalo b'shloima shel malchus, the one ought to daven for the welfare of the royal family, which starts off, the tefillah starts off, "He who giveth salvation unto kings." So maybe that's the he who. The correct answer was sent in by Joel Dick, who was the Einikel, the grandson of the Baal Hilula from Canada in Toronto, who said that you gave a share 2 years ago about the subject of he and who, and this is part two of it, but that doesn't yet explain the 54 babies. What's shot in the 54 babies? The various suggestions I've had, which are all wrong so far, one of them is that you're speaking about the 54 Cedrus.
Maya? Every week, maybe.
54 Cedrus, maybe. Another one said you're speaking about your own children because you were born in 54. I had another one which was that you're speaking about Shmoneh Esrei because 3 times 18, 3 times a day, Shmoneh Esrei gives you 54 brochas. I had one suggestion for Eretz Yisrael that you're speaking about the 54 bus which goes from Tel Aviv to Bnei Brak. And one person said that 54 is nun dalad, you're a nudnik, you're just driving people crazy. Okay, we'll come to it all in a minute. So, let's start off first of all with the he and the who. I discussed this 2 years ago, this question of, and it bothered me this year again, and that is that in Parshas Acharei, when we're lining the Parsha of Yom HaKippurim, the Torah says, Shabbos, Shabbos, he lochem, v'inisem es nafshoi seichem. And in Parshas Emor, which is the Parshas of the Moyadim, the Pasuk reads exactly the same, but it says, Shabbos, Shabbos, hu lochem, v'inisem es nafshoi seichem. The kasha is, why would the Torah change from he to who in those multiple? So we discussed it 2 years ago. I suggested various things. I tried to look it up again this year because I still didn't have an answer. And truth be spoken, I still don't have an answer for it. But I'm going to follow it through a little bit and then I'll leave you with the four kashas and we'll move on to the next subject. The Minchas Shai says at the side, the Minchas Shai we discussed last time, we discussed his history. He lived in Italy in the mid 16th century, and he was a Talmud or his Rebbe in Dikduk and in matters to do with Kriyas HaTorah. And the reading of the Torah was the Chizkuni, who lived 250 years earlier in France, and we discussed exactly the history of printing, etc. We went through the whole thing at that time as to where he came from. But the Minchas Shai writes that the simon that you have for he and who is vat v'simon vatoichal hu v'hi. That's what he writes. The simon is vatoichal and she ate hu v'hi. And his reference there is to a posuk in Shmuel. The posuk in Shmuel discusses as follows. The story is of Eliyahu Hanavi. There were 3 years of famine. Sorry, it's not in Shmuel, it's in Melachim. Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin. That Eliyahu Hanavi decreed that there would be Otza Sholosh Shonim. There were 3 years when there was no rain, there was a famine, and people were starving. And Eliyahu Hanavi lived in a cave, and the Rebbe Hashem sent the ravens in order to feed him. After that, the Rebbe Hashem told him, leave the cave and go to a place called Tzorfas, And in Tzarfas, there will be a lady, Hinei Tziviti Shom, that there will be a lady, Lachal Kalecha, who will feed you. He comes to Tzarfas, he meets the lady, he asks her for food. She says, we're starving, I have nothing. All I have is a drop of oil and a little bit of flour. I'm about to bake a cake. I was just gathering some kindling in order to light a fire. I'm going to bake a cake. I'll have one little biscuit out of it. I will share it with my son, and then both of us will die. And then he asks her, please, will you feed me and make the cake, etc. And he gives her the brocha, and he guarantees her that the Kadash Shemin will not finish, and the tzapachas of Eishleman and Nisporchu Kadva tzapachas, that the container of flour would... And it says, the Pasuk says at the end of that, Kichoyom HaHashem Elokei Yisrael, Kada Kemech Loisichlo, the flour will be in abundance, Tzapachas HaShem Eloisechso, and the oil will not finish, Ad Yoyim Teis HaShem Geshem Al Pei Adoma, until the end of this famine. And she went and did what he asked. He asked her to give him first, and then only afterwards to feed herself and her son. The pasuk says that she ate, and he ate, and her child, her household, all ate yomim for a year from that miracle. So the Milchas Shai is telling me that the simon for the he and the who to do with Yom Kippur in the Torah is Vatoichal he vahu. This Vatoichal he vahu is very interesting because it's there is a kri and a ksiv on the he and the who. The ksiv says who and he. He was first and then she ate. So she gave him to eat and then he ate. That's who and he. Then she ate. She ate after him. The kri is he the who. So you swap the who to he and the he to who. And that's very unusual. And they're one immediately after the other. And the Mephoshim obviously discuss this as to why it should be. It's not just the Mephoshim, it's a Mephosh of Hirgid Rebbe Lezer, and it's a Medrash in Shir Hashirim, which we're going to come to in a minute. The Radak discusses it, and the Radak says that he brings Malmore Chazal, and he says the Shaila is, was Eliyahu Anovi eating Bizku So? Or was she eating bizchusoy? And you could learn it both ways. You could learn that he was eating bizchusoy because she showed such miserious nefesh, and she showed such belief in the word of the Rabbeinu Shloilom that, and it also says that she was mekabelim b'seva ponim yofos, and she treated them nicely, and therefore he was eating bizchusoy. And also it's mashma from the posuk because the Torah Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Eliyahu that hinei tzivisi, I have commanded a lady to feed you. It's mashma that he is eating bizchusoy. On the other hand, all the Mephoshim say, and it's Mephorish in the Medrash, that Eliyahu Novi never took anything from anybody. He didn't want to be nena from anyone. The Medrash says specifically that wherever he went, he took everything, he was self-sufficient. He even took, it says, his own psilois and his own shemen. He didn't even want to use a candle from somebody else. He didn't want to be nena. And therefore, why would the Rabbeinu Shloilom give him his parnosa in such a way that he had to rely on someone else? And additionally, it says that that Pashtus, she was eating b'schus the tzaddik. He was the bigger tzaddik. He came to her. He was the vehicle through which she could do the chesed, but she was eating b'schusoy. Therefore, the Radak says that because you could say that he was eating b'schusoy or she was eating b'schusoy, therefore the Torah, the Kriyan Ksiv mixes them up to tell you that the who was the he and the he was the who. He was eating in her schus, she was eating in his schus. That's the understanding of the Radak in this he v'hu. The Minchas Shai there in Malochim directs you to this Medrash in Shir Hashirim. The Medrash is in Shir Hashirim Perek Beis Hey on the Pasuk Sabchuni Bar Shushois Rabduni Batapuchim, and there that the Medrash comes. He also refers to you to the Pirkei Rebbe Lezer. Both the Pirkei Rebbe Lezer and the Medrash both say the same thing. They come to the conclusion that she was eating biskut soy, that she was eating biskus al Yohanovi. And the kasha then is, and I'm going to leave you with these four kashas lechayra, and that is. Number one, if she was eating bizchusoy, then there's no need to change the ksiv. The ksiv is who and he. So he would be the ikka, and she would be the tofel. Therefore she would be eating bizchusoy. That's what's written, that's the text reads who and he. Hey vav aleph, followed by the hey yud aleph. So therefore, if that's the conclusion, the Minchas Shai directs you to the Medrash and to the Pekah Rebbe Lezer, and their conclusion is that he, that she is eating in his Sukkos, then there was no need to change from the Kri to the Ksuv, from the Ksiv to the Kri. There's no need to change the way that we read it from the way that it's written. Pashtus, the way that it's written seems to be correct. Second thing is that the Minchas Shai on the Torah directed me to this Pasuk as some sort of a simon. What do I need a simon for? In the Pashas Acharei, when the Torah says Shabbos Shabbosin Hi Lochem, it's one of the 11 places in the Torah where He is written Hey Yud Aleph the way it's supposed to be. So therefore, in Shabbos Shabbosin Hi Lochem, it's written Hey Yud Aleph. In Pashas Emor, it says Shabbos Shabbosin Hu Lochem, it's written Hey Vov Aleph. And therefore, I'm not going to make a mistake. If I'm not going to make a mistake, there it says He, and it's written He, and I read it He. Here it's written Hu, and I read it Hu. Therefore, I'm not going to make a mistake. If I'm not going to make a mistake, why do I need a simon at all? Third thing is, the Minchas Shai, maybe he didn't address this at all, but the Minchas Shai Pashtus didn't answer for me at all, why change from he to hu b'chlal? Why do I have a Shabbos Shabbosin hi lochem legaba Yom Kippur, and a Shabbos Shabbosin hu lochem? I don't need that at all. And the final thing is that the two things are completely different. Why does the Minchas Shai refer me b'chlal to the Pasuk in Melochim? Here, I haven't got a kriyak siv at all. The he is written he, and I read it he. And the who is written who, and I read it who. Whereas when I go to Vatoichal who v'hi, I have to change the who to he, and the he to who. So l'choyah, why do I need to compare it at all to there? It's completely different. I don't have answers, but the interesting thing, and that's why I want to bring come on to the 54 babies, is that the Medrash in Shir HaShirim speaks about at the end of the Roman oppression, it says, after the death, Shilhi Hashmat, after the death of King Hadrian, of Emperor Hadrian, it says there that they were allowed to learn Torah again. And they were looking for somewhere, for a place where they would host the Bnei Torah in order that they could set up a yeshiva and all start learning again. And the town where they gathered was a town called Usho. And afterward, it says that the Rabbonim got up and they all spoke in praise of the town Usho, of the Hachnosos Ochim of Usho, and it says each Rav got up and gave a drosha about Hachnosos Ochim, about how wonderful it is that you took people in and you... So one of them got up, and this is where the Medrash comes in, and spoke about the wonderful Hachnosos Ochim of this lady, the Tzorfatis, that she so accommodated Elio Anovi and fed him in such difficult situations that she was Zoicha even Shehechio Esbeno. As a result of that, when her son died, she was zoicha to wonderful things. She was zoicha to the schar that her son was zoicha to Tchias HaMesim. So that was one drosha. In the same parsha, just before, the previous drosha started ringing bells to me because it was a parsha that was mentioned 2 weeks ago by Dayan Chanoich Friedman. Dayan Chanoich Friedman mentioned a number of shaylos la'alocha, and one of them was, he discussed that there was a problem in the situation. There was a situation in a town where they had a particular problem. I think the way I understood it, although he didn't say specifically, there was a malshin, there was a moiser in town. There was a person who was reporting them to the authorities and creating tzoros for the yidden all the time. And they tried every eitzawot server to try and get rid of this malshin, but nothing worked. So they decided in the end to collect money and to send a kvittel with a large pidyon to the local great rebbe, and to ask the Rebbe that he should be mispalel, that they should be potter from this tzora, that they should be released from this terrible problem. So the shliach takes this large amount of money and the kvittel. He's on his way to the Rebbe, and the malshin had a heart attack and he died. So somebody called up the shliach and said, turn round, come back, and we can all get our money back. Because we don't need the Rebbe anymore. We sent the money to the Rebbe in order that he should be mispalel, that we should be potter from this Torah. But Baruch Hashem, we got rid of it without him, and therefore we no longer need him. So the shaila was, the shliach tainet, the money is already stocker money. I should carry on, I should give it to the Rebbe. You designated it for that, it's got it in a stocker. And many of them tainet, no. We only gave it to the Rebbe in order that he should, so to speak, perform a service because the tzedakah. He doesn't know anything about the problem, he never davened, he didn't do anything, and therefore we're entitled to our money back. This story, he said, was sent to the Marsham, and the Marsham, the Brzhanerov Paskind, he said that the money is tzedakah already, and that you have to give it. And he brought a raya from a pasha which the Medrash Rabbah discusses just before this Medrash that I just discussed. And I saw it on the page, and I thought to myself, when I looked at it in more detail, he skimmed over it. He said that he skimmed over it because he didn't have the time. He was dealing with a number of shilas. He said that the Pasuk tells us that the Oren HaKodesh was captured by the Plishtim. The Yidden got the Plishtim suffered terrible sorrows as long as the Oren was in them, and they sent it back. The Oren was in the house of Avinodov for 20 years. When David HaMelech became the king, he decided that it was time to bring the Oren back to Yerushalayim. He brought the Oren on its way to Yerushalayim, and they were dancing in front of it. There was a whole story we had to share about it. It was about to fall off the wagon, and then Uzzah, the son of Avinodov, tried to steady it, as a result of which he died. It says there that David HaMelech and everybody became very frightened of the power of the Oren HaKodesh, and he decided now is not the time to bring it to Yerushalayim, because clearly the Oren is in some... it's not difficult for us to understand, the Oren is in an aggressive mood. It's in a mood where it kills people. And therefore, it's not yet the time to bring it to Yerushalayim. And he looked for somewhere, and there was a person called Oved Edom Hagiti. There was a person called Oved Edom, a pashtus, he lived in a place called Gas, and he took the Oren into his house for 3 months. And the Pasuk says, Vayeshev Aroin Hashem Beis Oved Edom Hagiti Shloshe Chadoshim, Vayevorach Hashem Es Oved Edom Eskol Beis Oya HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessed Oved Edom and his household. Said Rabbi Friedman, what was the brocha that he had? She yolda shisha bekeres echot. That his wife gave birth to 6 children, like the miracle that happened to the Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, that she had sextuplets as a result of that. When David HaMelech heard, it says, Vayugat the Melech David Lema Beirach Hashem Es Beis Edom, that the house of Edom was blessed because of the Oren HaKodesh, they said, oh, now the Oren HaKodesh is obviously in a much better mood. There are brochas as a result of it. People don't die as a result of it, and therefore... I can now bring the Oren HaKodesh to Yerushalayim. And that's what he did, and he brought the Oren HaKodesh now came to Yerushalayim. Said the Brajan Arov, that you can see that as a result, of the chesed, the mitzvah of achsanya, that Oved Edom did to the Oren HaKodesh, therefore he was zoicha to 6 children. Those 6 children must have been conceived 9 months earlier. If they were born during the 3 month period when the Oren HaKodesh was in his house, then they must have been conceived at least 6 months earlier. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have performed the miracle on the smach, even in advance, that he would be doing the mitzvah later on. So here as well, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that you were going to give the money to Tzedakah. Because the money was going to reach the Rebbe and be given to Tzedakah, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave you on credit that the Malshin died. And therefore he paskened that your chayev that the money is tzedakah money, it has to stay. This is a Gemara the reason why I became interested was because when I looked through the Medrash, I saw that Diachanut Friedman didn't have time to follow it through completely, but if you look in the Gemara says actually that, and the Pasuk says so, that Oved Edom actually had 8 sons and 8 daughters-in-law. And it says that when the Oren HaKodesh was in the house of Oved Edom, his wife and his 8 daughters-in-law, each gave birth to 6 children. So in fact he was zeicha to a total of 54 children, and they were all boys, it says. He was zeicha to 54 children and grandchildren, 6 his wife had, and each of his daughters-in-law, his 8 daughters-in-law, each had 6. And therefore this was a gewaldige brocha. I must tell you, I said this over at the Shabbos table, the ladies were not that impressed. But, you know, it's a big family to look after. And the raya that the Gemara brings is, because later on in Divrei Hayomim, the Pasuk lists out the 8 sons of Oved, and then it lists out the 6 sons of Izbechor, and it says that Oved, who was a Levi, sent a contingent of 62 men to the Beis HaMikdosh in order to serve in the Beis HaMikdosh. And these 62 were his sons and all his grandsons. And as totally, he had 54 grandchildren. He had 8 sons before the Oren HaKodesh arrived. He had another 6 when the Oren HaKodesh was with him in the house. And then he had another 48. Another 48 grandchildren, 8 times 6, and therefore in total there was a contingent of 62. And therefore, that's where the 54, by the way, the 54 babies come in. They were all grandsons, and that was the schar. Agav, according to the way the Vilna Gaon learns the Gemara, the Mashav wouldn't have had a raya, because the Vilna Gaon asks a kasha. The Vilna Gaon says that if the women became pregnant with Shishul B'Keres Echot during the period when the Aron HaKodesh was in the house, then they wouldn't necessarily have even realized at the end of the 3 months. So how did David HaMelech know that the Aron HaKodesh had blessed the house of Oved Edom? So he doesn't learn that the babies were born during that period. He learns that they became pregnant, and therefore, at some time during the 3 months, and therefore it wouldn't have been Nikah. So he says that, the Vilna Gaon says, that probably if they were pregnant with 6 children, then they were so large that even before 3 months it would already have been noticeable, and therefore they could already send a message that each of his wife and his 8 daughters-in-law had all become pregnant during the period when the Aron HaKodesh was in the house, and l'chayra they'd all had a scan and they all knew they were going to have sextuplets, and therefore according to that HaKodesh Baruch Hu did not send the brocha before the Aron HaKodesh ever arrived. The bracha only started when the Aron HaKodesh arrived. But, so if according to the Vilna Gaon, it wouldn't have been a raya. But the Masham clearly learns, like the Medrash, and like the Masham clearly learns, like the Medrash, and like the Yerushalmi, which learns that there was a nes besoid nes. The Medrash and the Yerushalmi both learn that the women were already pregnant from the period before the Aron HaKodesh arrived, which is good according to the Masham. And there was a nes besoid nes that quite clearly in the Medrash and in the Yerushalmi, word for word, that each of them gave birth to a baby every 2 weeks. And that was during the 3 month period, they had 6 babies. Two per month, so to speak, and this is a nes b'soich nes, and therefore it was such a miracle and such a brocha that when that was related to David HaMelech, then he realized that the Oron clearly is dispensing brochas. Pardon? Each lady had, during the 3 months when the Aron HaKodesh was in the house of Oved Eder Gitti, each lady had 2 babies per month, which is 6 per lady over the period of 3 months. And that was the fifth. So therefore he had, in total, 54 children and grandchildren over those 3 months. And therefore that was the schus in which they, now, at the side of the Medrash, yeah, this will bring me now to this week's Sedra. I want to connect this Medrash now, what we've been learning now. Basically, I went from one thing to the other. I started with the Huvahi. The Huvahi led me to this Oved Edom HaGitti, which is in the same Medrash. And at the side of the Medrash leads me to this week's Sedra. And there's a bomba pshat. There's a pirish at the side of the Medrash called Yidei Moshe. The Yidei Moshe was written by somebody called Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Ashkenazi. I don't know anything about him, but he must have been a big gon to be zoicha, to be chosen, to be one of the Noisa Kalim printed on the standard Vilna Medrash Rabba. He writes on the side as follows. He says that, Amati tam lishvach. I'd like to tell you a really beautiful pshat as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to reward Oved Edom HaGitti particularly with 6 children per wife. Why was it that particular? Rabbi Shalom could have given him alamina brochas. The pashtas to Rabbi Shalom did give him many other brochas. But why particularly that he was yoled shisha b'keres echod? Why were his wives zoicha, the wives of him and his children, zoicha dafka to 6 children as a reward for being the achsanya to the Oren? See, he says, I'll tell you why. He says, if you look in this week's Edra, Parshas Bamidbar, you'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to count the B'nai Kohos, the family of Kohos. And there were 8,600 members of the B'nai Kohos. The Rabbi Shem then gave them their jobs, distributed the jobs amongst the various families, Gershon, Kohos, and Merori, in transporting the Mishkan from place to place. And the job of the B'nai Kohos was the Oroin, and the Shulchan, and the Menorah, and the Mizbechos. That was their job. If you look in next week's Sedra, he says, and he says this quite clearly, if you look in next week's Sedra, you'll find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to count the B'nai Kohos for a second time. In the second sentence, census, they are down from 8,600 to 2,750. So the Medrash asked the Kasha. The Medrash there, in the same, again, going to the same, this is a Medrash in Bamidbar, our Medrash in Bamidbar, asked the Kasha, how can it be that the numbers are dwindled by almost two-thirds? And the Medrash says, because the B'nai Kohos were the ones who carried the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh had 2 flamethrowers, which shot up in Bein Badi HaOron. Those flamethrowers were there constantly shooting out in order to destroy the Nechoshim and the Akrabim and the Soinim, all the enemies and all the problems that Klal Yisrael might encounter. But unfortunately, there were Koinim that got in the way as well. and therefore there were many Levium who were destroyed by the Oren. There's a different version of the different measures, that because there were fire coming out, therefore nobody wanted to carry the Oren, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became annoyed with that, because they all ran in order to take, everybody ran to take the Shulchan and the Mizbechos and everything else but the Oren, because they were frightened of the Oren, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore there were some Levium who died as a result. So he says like this, says Kup Dechos, that the Oren, and especially now we know that Uzzah had just died as a result of the Oren. And now he says, why was Oved called Oved Edoim? Why was it called red? He says, because the Medrash says, Shehedim Ponov Shel Dovid HaMelech. It was an embarrassment. Dovid HaMelech's face went red as from embarrassment from the situation with Oved Edoim. Why? Because Dovid HaMelech was frightened to bring the Oren to Yerushalayim, because he said the Oren's going to destroy people. Uzzah's just been killed as a result of the Oren. The Oren's aggressive, it's in a bad mood, and therefore I can't bring it to Yerushalayim. And yet Oved took that risk, and he took the Oren into his house, knowing that there was a risk. What was the risk, says the Yedei Moshe? Yedei Moshe says the risk was that he was going to look after the Oren, he and his 8 sons, who were Levium. There were 9 of them at risk. If the number reduces by 2/3 as a result of looking after the Oren, then 6 out of the 9, he and his 8 sons, were a total of 9 Shomrim looking after it. He put 6 of them at risk that they would be reduced in numbers by 2/3 as a result of the aggression of the Oren, so to speak. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that each of you 9 people who put yourselves at risk are going to be Zoicha, Midah, Keneged Midah, to 6 children.
Why 2/3?
Pardon? Because 2/3, the numbers went down by 2/3. Once the cars started carrying the Oren, their numbers went down by 2/3. Therefore, there was a risk that from 9, they would end up down to 3. Therefore, and it could have been Oved, it could have been any of his children. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu benched them, Midah Keneged Midah. When I read this, I thought, amazing, absolutely beautiful. When I stopped and thought about it, I thought, I cannot understand this pshat at all. I think it's Mufrach Be'ikorah, with respect to the Yedei Moshe, you share it with me, you tell me whether or not you think I'm right or he's right. I don't think there's any doubt from the words, I haven't got time to go through the Loshen, but that's clearly what he says is the situation. But I've got 2 kashas on the Yedei Moshe, and I'm going to leave you with the kashas to think about answers on a postcard. Kasha number 1 is that the B'nai Kahos, who were carrying the Oroin, their numbers go down by 2/3. In fact, it goes down from 100% to 32%. They went down to 32 from 100. If you call the first number 8600, the number that's now said of Parshas Bamidbar, from Parshas Bamidbar they lose 68% of their numbers, so to speak. If you look at Merari, they lost 65%. They're down from 100 to 35. The B'nai Merari are down almost as much, almost to 1/3. Of what's called, they've got 35% left, the B'nai Merari, and the B'nai Merari took the soft furnishings. They took the urios, they took the poroiches, they took the soft things, all the things that were woven, and the skins, etc., etc. That's what they carried. There was no fire, there was no destruction caused by those things, and yet they're also down to almost 1/3, they're down to 35%. And Kohos are down to 32%. So Enochanama costs a little bit more, but that doesn't make sense to say that Dafka, the B'nai Kos, because of the Oren, lost 2/3. But more than that, the Kasha is much, much stronger than that. The 2 censuses are not the same. The census of Parshas Bamidbar is B'ben Chodesh to 120. It accounted that the first one was B'ben Chodesh. From one month onwards to 120, there were 8,600 Levim and Shevet Kos. The second census was B'ben Shloshim Bad Chamishim, Kolabol Atzov Alavoyda Bayal Moed. And therefore it was only 20 years worth of Levim. So the numbers never went down by 2/3. In fact, if anything, maybe the numbers went up by 2/3. Because 1 to 100 is a period of 120 years, is 8,600. And so 30 to 50 is a period of 20 years, and there I've already got 2,750, I've got 32%, 1/3 of them in 20 years, 1/3 in 6th of years, so to speak. So the Chayra, how can you suggest even that they lost 2/3? Adarabba, the Chayra, in the schus of carrying the Mikdor, carrying the Oron HaKodesh, and taking the risk, they gain brocha just like Oved Edoim. Kasha.